Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Brothers and sisters, welcome to our time of prayer and scripture. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. Let's get nourished in our pro-life commitment. That's what we work to do every day, and let the word of God shine on the world and expose the evil of abortion and burn it away from our midst and just make us fit for the kingdom in every way. We want to go to the scriptures here. Let's put ourselves in God's presence. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, you tell us that when we pray, we are to forgive, and so we do come before you with a readiness to forgive our enemies. We come before you with a desire for your forgiveness for our own sins, because we have sinned in what we have done, And we ask you, Lord, now to make us better instruments of your kingdom of life. May we understand your word more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively. Through Christ our risen Lord. Amen. Our reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. Paul reached also Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. The brothers in Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him, and Paul wanted him to come along with him. On account of the Jews of that region, Paul had him circumcised, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from city to city, they handed on to the people for observance the decisions reached by the apostles and presbyters in Jerusalem. Day after day, the churches grew stronger in faith and increased in number. They traveled through the Phrygian and Galatian territory because they had been prevented by the Holy Spirit from preaching the message in the province of Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they crossed through Mysia and came down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision. A Macedonian stood before him and implored him with these words, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we sought passage to Macedonia at once, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, I've always been fascinated by this particular passage, because the Lord Jesus told his apostles, "Preach the gospel to all creation, every nation." The Holy Spirit came with tongues of fire precisely in order to start the preaching of the gospel to every nation in every language. And here you have the curious thing mentioned twice of the Holy Spirit stopping them from preaching in a particular area. It's not that he doesn't want those people to hear the gospel or be saved, but this gives us a crucially important lesson. We're all aware of it, but it's a very concrete reminder that we do our work of spreading the gospel under the direction of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And that means that the Spirit will say, "Go here," but might say, "Do not go here." They might have been easily persuaded they should go into the province of Asia, big cities with big populations. They could all hear the gospel and lots of pagan worship going on, and they could convert them. But the Holy Spirit had other plans. God knows who needs to hear your word, who needs to have your presence. So if this is a passage, I think, that you know is a biblical basis of the phrase we commonly hear when God closes one door, he opens another. Here it is right here in these verses. If Holy Spirit prevented them from going to the province of Asia or into Bithynia, but then they came down to Troas and then they went over to Macedonia. And this is where we get that phrase, the Macedonian call or the Macedonian cry. It's from believers in one part of the world that say to believers in others, "Come over here and help us. Help us spread the word. Help us give witness of the gospel. Help us nurture the new believers. Help us baptize more people. Help us reach more people." We've got to be ready to hear and to extend the Macedonian cry to one another. You know, we're doing this now in the pro-life movement where we have these ballot initiative measures in various states pro-abortion people are trying to impose. It's really a God-hating, baby-hating, woman-hating kind of measure where they try to impose a right to abortion in the state constitutions. We have the battle going on here in Florida, and it's going to be going on in several other places. And many people, what we are doing is we are fostering, I coordinate a lot of meetings where the leaders in these different states are coming together and talking to one another to learn from each other, develop joint strategies and so forth. And it's the Macedonian cry. Every one of these state battles is a national battle. And no state can do it alone. Pro-abortion people don't do it alone. They bring in money and people from all across the country. So the people in these various states who are fighting these battles are saying to the rest of the movement, come over to Macedonia and help us. It's a Macedonian cry. But all our work is done with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we don't know, Acts of the Apostles doesn't specify here exactly how did the Holy Spirit prevent them from going into a particular place. Was it an inner locution? What is it, a vision? Was it a dream? Was it a prophetic utterance from somebody else? We see in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul being told by a prophet not to go into Jerusalem. And so we have one thing for sure. Whatever method he uses to tell us, every time we have an idea of how we want to proclaim the gospel or the specific work that we want to do, whether it's in the pro-life movement or any aspect of serving God, start by praying, Lord, bring me where you want me to be. Show me where you want me to go. Direct me as to how to use my limited time and energy and resources today. You know, very often people ask me, Father Frank, well, you know, how do you want me to pray for you? What intentions do you have? And one of my most frequent responses to that question is, the wisdom to choose among all the different open doors, all the different opportunities I have to proclaim the gospel, to do pro-life work, to help people, let me choose wisely where does God most want me to be. That's it, because I have opportunities. I get all sorts of invitations to come to all different places and do all different projects and help all different people. Lots of Macedonian calls, you know, coming our way. They come your way too. Always pray for that wisdom, Lord. Show me how and where to do it. Because he knows exactly whom you need to talk to at any point in time. And one other thing drawn from this. This is real humility. Oh, the Holy Spirit prevented us from going there. We had figured out in our minds, oh, there's a lot of populous cities there. There's a lot of pagans. Let's go there. There's a lot that we can do. The Holy Spirit had other plans. Now, maybe he's going to tell you those plans right at the same time that he closes that door. Maybe he's going to tell them to you only when you go through the other door that opens up. Doesn't matter when he tells you. He'll make it clear, but he has his reasons. And the point here is humility does not say, Lord, you know, humility can be just as proud as pride if we're not careful, if at the end we're going where we want to go. Because sometimes people with humility, oh, I don't want to go into the spotlight. I never want to go into the spotlight. Lord, send me into some quiet, humble, obscure corner. Yeah, if he wants you there. But what if he wants you in front of the crowd? What if he wants you leading that group? Humility doesn't mean, oh, I'm never going to lead that group, because I'm supposed to be just one person out in the congregation here. I'm supposed to be just in the corner. No, humility says, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Use me. I'm your servant. You want me to lead the group? It's not going to be by my strength anyway. It's going to be by your strength. So if that's what you're calling me to do, Lord, here I am. Send me. Right? Like we sing in that hymn, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Send me. If you want me to be a leader of the group or just one of the members, if you want me to be in front of the microphone or just in the crowd, if you want me to be in the spotlight or if you want me to be in the shadows, where can I serve you? Where does the Holy Spirit want me to go to have an impact? Friends, it's very simple. Be ready for anything. Be ready to go into the province of Asia, using this as an example, or go down to Troas or come over to Macedonia. The Holy Spirit's going to send you. The Holy Spirit at other times will prevent you. Final point here, You know, young men ask me, I'm thinking of becoming a priest. I'm not sure if that's what God wants me to do. Or young women might ask, I might want to become a religious sister. I'm not sure. If somebody feels like they might have a calling to that, I always say, presume that you do. And then God will tell you no. Because as this passage shows us, God can easily tell you no. The Holy Spirit prevented them from going to preach the gospel in that particular place. The Holy Spirit will prevent you if that's not your calling. But the reason it's important to presume that you do is because people don't get a desire like that to give up everything for the kingdom of God, renounce marriage, embrace the religious life, embrace the priesthood. You don't get a feeling that you might like to do that on a natural level. That's already a supernatural desire because it only makes sense based on faith. It only makes sense based on a belief in the kingdom of God. So yes, that's already a sign that you may well have a vocation. And if you do, and it's that little seed, you need to nurture that seed. If you presume that you do have the vocation, you'll start doing things that bring it the right kind of sunlight and moisture, and you feed it, you encourage it. And then if it's not where the Holy Spirit wants you to go, he'll tell you not to go there. But it's better to presume that you have the vocation and let the Holy Spirit tell you you don't, than presume that you don't and keep waiting for a sign that you do. Thank you, Lord, for the guidance that you do give us. Thank you for guiding this movement for life, and help us hear the Macedonian cry to go and help those that need help. Let us be wise in pooling our resources and reaching out beyond our common day-to-day boundaries and keeping the good of the whole movement in sight. Strengthen our unity, strengthen our intelligent sharing of resources, and give success to the work of our hands as we defend life, defeat abortion, and spread your kingdom. Now we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We pray to our Heavenly Mother, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Well, thank you, friends. Please invite others to come and watch these programs each day. You can reach some people I can't reach. And let's come together with the Word of God and let it inspire our pro-life work especially, and all our work and service to God's kingdom. Talk to you tomorrow.
Hello. I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that, and today I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.